SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Watching Sports Grid. Get on the grid.
Game Time Decisions continues. I am Gabriel Moretz. We're throwing it down with a raging redhead, Cam Stewart. Lou from Gamblu.com. We'll step up and in and join us in a couple of minutes. We're going to get into the UFC 251. Really cool, really top-heavy card. I'll be honest with you. Some of these UFC cards sometimes, you'll have like a really good main event, and then it's like, wow, not big stars, but a lot of like violent fighters, veterans, or what have you. This card's a little bit different. This card, they went big. It's sort of like their 4th of July. Could I used to have big 4th of July cards all the time? They sort of got away from it a little bit, but this is sort of their big 4th of July card. Another thing is, it's not talked about, the Abu Dhabi government, United Emirates, owns part of the UFC, bro. So
they want to see a show.
Bring it. These rich sheiks didn't invest, you know, 500, 700 million for 8%. So they get a Facebook fight pass fight. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So you go out there, you better bring them something. Like last time they were there was Khabib. Because Khabib is Muslim, right? So last time it was Khabib out there when they fought there. So we're going to break it down. We'll talk some UFC. But this card, really top heavy in the sense that you've got three championship fights. You got Rose Namajunas versus Andrade again. You got big-time fighters at the top end, and then after is a bunch of people like that's never been in a UFC before. Like, you got a bunch of Russian dudes that are 10-0 and badasses from M1 and very international feel for this card at Fight Island, so we'll get into that. We have the Workday Charity Open as well. Justin Thomas is favored right now at 12-1 with no DeChambeau in the mix. Patrick Cantlay, I believe, is a player that you've got your eye on this weekend.
Yeah, Cantlay loves Memorial. Gabe, I was going to bet him at the Rocket Mortgage, but he pulled out of this because he cares about Jack's tournament. He's going back-to-back at Muirfield. He is also the defending champion at the Memorial when it played tougher. Cantlay is going to be on my radar for 2 weeks. If he doesn't get it done this week in his contention, I'll go back to him. But I will say this, small greens, the rough is not going to be as long as it's going to be next week, but it's going to be a lot better than the Rocket Mortgage Classic. I love when you say everything. You're the best. I never forget your email to me. Classic in bold letters. It was not a classic. Yeah. It was not a classic.
At least this is the Open. I prefer this. Yeah. The Workday Charity Open.
Yeah, it's not a classic. It's the Workday Charity Open next week. It's the Memorial. Thank you. Memorial, though, that's a top 10 tournament globally, even though it's not a major. It's one that the players get up for. And you brought up a good point about Brooks Koepka. He's the X factor this week. He was trending in the right direction before his caddy got coronavirus. We'll see how he rebounds this week.
Brooks Koepka is 16-1. Cantlay is 14-1. John Rahm never wins. He's 15-1. Justin Thomas to me, too. He's burnt me, man. The guy I take him, he doesn't even make cuts. Brooks Koepka, 16-1. Guys, I'm telling you, I think Brooks Koepka is he's within striking distance. We'll put it that way.
He is.
You know, he was just working on his game, coming back out of the pandemic, recovering. He was starting to dial it up a notch. He had a top 10, I think, at the RBC Heritage it was. And then his brother, was it his brother that got coronavirus, too?
No, his caddy. Brother,
His caddy.
No, his caddy. His caddy got it, but his brother also withdrew, Chase Koepka, who's in the field this week. Actually, for people that don't know about Chase Koepka, he's a European Tour player. He's decent. He's not in his brother's league, but he's like 200-1 in this tournament. But, they both were in contact with the caddy, and they said, you know what, we're going to play it safe and take some time off.
So, Brooks Koepka, 16-1. Hideki Matsuyama, not somebody that I want to be putting my money on, although he showed a little bit of flash. All right. Game Time Decisions radio continues. I am Arancy. We're throwing it down with a raging redhead, Cam Stewart. Lou, Gamblu.com will join us in a couple of minutes. We're going to talk UFC. We're banging the Workday charity open odds right now. Justin Thomas, 12-1. Patrick Cantlay, 14-1. Johnny Rahm, 15-1. Brooks Koepka, 16-1. Hideki Matsuyama, 17-1. Xander Schauffele checks in, 19-1. Justin Rose, 24-1. I'm going to tell you, Cam, 24-1, Justin Rose. Those are pretty nice odds in this field, in my opinion. What's your take on Rose playing on this track?
I'm very impressed by you, Gabe. You took two guys. Like, I wish I could take everybody, but when you're taking two guys, you know, Cantlay at 14 and Matsuyama at 17, I can't afford to take Rose and Koepka. But I love your picks. Rose always plays well here. He loves Muirfield Village, a top five machine, won here before. Horses for courses. Watch out for Justin Rose. His putter's been a little bit weak. The week that I took him, he actually fell back. But this is familiar courses can make guys really, really happy. And Justin Rose is very comfortable in Dublin, Ohio at this course, Gabe. And even at this week, he might even tune it up because when they trick it up, when it's the following week here and the rough is longer and harder, Rose likes that. Remember what tournaments he does well in? Majors and tough courses. The tougher it gets, the better Justin Rose plays.
Listen, I'm telling you what, I think Justin Rose, some great odds at 24-1, guys.
I agree.
And he's been playing pretty well. He's starting to play well coming out of the pandemic right now. He's also getting ready. Some of these big-time players, guys, they've got their eyes on the majors, right? We're talking about there's only four tournaments left before a major right now. So they're starting to take it more seriously and dial in more. But Justin Rose at 24-1, he's got a couple of T15s in his last couple of tournaments here, Cam. And, you know, getting into the props, I've been doing pretty well. You know, we're doing okay, but I'm enjoying it. They're like golf teasers, yep. Right? I'm playing, you know, the top 20s. I hit Ricky Fowler, yep. Plus 162. But I tell you what, Justin Rose, top 20. I was hoping for a little bit more, plus 135.
That's not bad. It's paying. Plus money. At my book, it'd probably be like almost even because Justin Rose, if he's going to make the cut, he should be there.
Top 10 is plus 280. For Justin Rose. All right, we're going to get into the octagon and we'll get back to the golf picks before we're done. Game Time Decisions continues. Get on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game Time Decision continues. I am Renzi. We're throwing it down with a raging redhead. Cam Stewart, as always, the show is just flying by today, just like time in life itself. It flies by. The basketball tournament is flying by. Carmen's Crew is out. Carmen's Crew, last year's champions at the basketball tournament, get eliminated by House of Pain. And we'll refresh the numbers. We'll see what FanDuel is dealing, the official sponsor, not only of this program, but the basketball tournament as well. All right, UFC Fight Island, let's roll. It's not Fantasy Island, but it might as well be for UFC fight fans because we got a million fights on this card. We got top heavy three championship fights. You got something for everybody. You got something. Like last week, me and Lou got into a debate about this, and it is true. There's people that like the hype fights. There's certain fighters that bring a casual hype fan in. You know, that's what Masvidal is on the card for right now. You know, your MMA purists, you know, you've got Volkanovski and Holloway. It's a nice chess match right there. And then you got a legend in the game in Jose Aldo against potentially a future legend and a badass in Peter Yan right now. There's a lot to like about this card. Let's bring in Lou, Gamblu.com, to talk about it. Lou, always a pleasure, sir. How you doing, Lou?
Doing great. Always my pleasure. And now we get to speak and see one another, which is the miracle of modern technology.
Yeah, it's like I'm looking in a mirror, Lou. Like, it's what I need. The show needed more white, middle-aged, bald men on the show, but welcome aboard.
Hey, you have middle age for me. I'll take it, Gabe.
I'm not lying too about middle age. I'm not. Yeah, middle was a little while ago, right? So I'm in denial. But that's,
don't laugh
that's
so
beside
hard, Cam. What's so funny, for crying out loud?
He's loving it.
Oh, yeah.
He's the young pup of the group.
Exactly, barely. And my health won't say that, Lou. But bald is beautiful, buddy. You guys look great.
All right. So, as far as this card is concerned, we'll cut the small talk so we can get to as many fights as possible. I don't know what you make of this, Lou. I think it's noteworthy. I saw an interview, and I'm glad I did, man. I saw a clip just briefly of Dustin Poirier, and I was like, oh, Poirier's talking about Masvidal, and basically, guys, so everyone's going to say, oh, Masvidal took this fight on a week's notice, extremely short notice, and all this type of stuff. And yes, he did, technically. But at the same point in time, guys, Gilbert Burns only got the fight against Usman because negotiations fell through with Masvidal. Masvidal, there's a video out there of him trolling Usman in a hotel from like 2 years ago, year and a half, whatever. They've been on a collision course. And basically, Poirier stated, he goes, I don't know what Masvidal knew, but he goes, this guy trained every day. I saw firsthand for 5 weeks. He was in here sparring, and he continued training after, like he was fighting Usman, Lou. Like, he never stopped. Like, he, and I know it's interesting. Now, listen, it's still, you saw the mental aspect of it, getting on a plane, going to Vegas, going to Abu Dhabi, and all this stuff, Lou. It's definitely unorthodox, but I think if anyone can handle it, it's him. But then, all that's cute. Then we get into the fact that, listen, Usman's 11-0 in the UFC and a badass on the ground. He's a badass standing up. But I just want to throw it out there that Masvidal was full throttle training. I'll take Poirier's word for it when he says this guy was, Poirier said, if anybody thinks he's not in fight shape, you're wrong about that. He is. I'll take Poirier's word for that. But it doesn't mean they win the fight because of that. But what's your take? How prepared do you think Masvidal is?
I think he's well-prepared, and he's well-prepared because he's been fighting in the UFC for 15 years, and he'd been fighting in backyards for 15 years before that, and the guy's like 35, so do the math. If there's anyone prepared for short notice, it would be no one in the history of the UFC is more prepared for a short notice fight than George Masvidal, except somebody with the last name of Gracie. Now, that all said, and I do believe Poirier because I know he was in training Poirier for Poirier's fight with Hooker. After negotiations broke down, it's all speculation then. It's my opinion that George was in the gym. Was he working the same way he was before? We'll find out on Saturday night, but I look to see a guy in Masvidal very much like Askren, calculating, cold. He uses guile. He'll use the reflection from the sun to make you look one way while he hits you from the other, and he's going to need every single trick he's earned over his lifetime to compete with Usman, in my opinion.
Yeah, the thing is, and you know, as conditioned as he's going to be, Cam. And one thing about Masvidal, I've said this about for years about him. Like you said, if you had like a battle royal in the parking lot, it doesn't even matter about weight classes. If like every UFC fighter just got into a massive brawl, you know, in the parking lot after, Masvidal would be like the last guy standing. He'd be racking people's heads off of hoods of cars and stuff. And like he'd be like Bruce Lee, like yeah, he'd like palm someone in the face, and like you know what I mean? Like he really is a badass, and you know he's on a roll right now. And I'm not saying Usman is great. He's a great athlete, but I like Masvidal's preparation coming in here. He's nothing to lose. He has nothing to lose at all. Masvidal's not a guy that's going to be like, oh, this is my title shot, and oh my God, I'm fighting for a UFC championship. He could care less. He's fighting for money. All right, he's fighting for money. He also knows it's built in. If I lose, I was on a week notice. Usman's the one that has all the pressure in the world on him. And Usman likes being a champion. Usman's not flashy. Usman loses the belt, man. His life sucks. It's not like Dana's going to kiss his ass. It's not like he sells a million pay-per-views, this guy. But he's not a flashy fighter. So Usman's got to hang on to this belt to keep what he's got going on. And Masvidal doesn't care. Masvidal's fighting for money. And I saw another thing, too. People are freaking out because Masvidal was eating pizza last night or the other night. And Masvidal did a video. And it's like Lou said, guys, this guy's been fighting in backyards since he's 17. You think eating a slice of pizza is going to throw this guy off? Like, he's
exactly.
not. Yeah, like, he's not. He's Masvidal's not. He's an athlete, but he's a fighter. You know what I mean, Lou? Like, yeah. Masvidal don't care about how he looks in the mirror. He's going to eat a pizza. He's going to drink a Coca-Cola or a Pepsi before he goes to bed. I've seen him training where he eats ice cream and stuff. And he goes, man, he goes, I don't see why depriving myself is called training. He goes, I'll be fine. People are like, oh, you're a joke. You're eating pizza on fight week. He's laughing at them, Lou.
He's a colorful guy, and he's got the experience, and I think he's going to put up one heck of a show for us. But all that being said, Usman's the natural 170, okay? Fight night, Usman's going to be 95. George is going to be, you know, a buck 80. So size, strength, cardio, and you just hit it on the head. George is in a win-win. If he loses, he's the savior of the UFC by saving the main event when just a week ago he was in a big confrontation with him over this negotiation. If he wins, his burst gets brighter, the supernova shines higher, and he becomes more of a superstar.
Yeah, he really does have nothing to lose except the fight itself, which is tough. I hate betting a number. And Joey Odessa has, you know, talked about this for years, and I agree. And the same thing with betting on sports. There's no value betting a loser. When people say, well, you know, I really didn't like them, but we were getting plus 24.5 with Arizona State, so I took them. It's like, yeah, well, it was about, you know what I mean? If it lost, right? And when it comes to fights, I try, and I told you this, Lou, if I have to lay chalk sometimes, I lay the chalk. If I take the dog, I take the dog. I'll bet who I think is going to win. I'm betting the fight, not the number. But I can't lie and say the number doesn't intrigue me now a little bit. Getting that nice price with Masvidal here. I think Usman should be favored. But should he be favored at a 3-to-1 ratio, Lou, in my opinion? No, I don't think so. What's your take on that?
As I break down the fight, I think that Masvidal is taking great advantage of timing. Some great opportunities and some perfect matchups. I believe Usman should be 300. I believe the market is right. And I think he's going to rub George out. I think the size and the strength's going to be too much. I believe it goes the distance. I don't think he finishes George. Again, you touched on it a little bit earlier. You know, Usman, once he gets on top, it's hard to get out from underneath him, but it isn't like he's raining ground and pound.
We'll hit this on the other side with Lou.
Bagels and bad bits. Never being a camp fan, but I will tell you, the officials never gave him the benefit of the doubt. He would get crushed and there wouldn't be any penalty flags for late hits. So, you know, welcome to the real world Patriots from that standpoint.
The Sports Grid Network.
You're watching Sports Grid. On the grid 21.
The schedule for winter activities will be updated mid-July. This approach shouldn't be expected from the FBS conferences, though, with more significant sports programs, as the Ivy League schools are less financially dependent on their sports programs. Patty Mills putting his money where his mouth is. The Spurs guard plans to donate $1 million to combat racism in his native Australia. The figure is the entire salary he will earn for 8 games that will play in the Orlando bubble. Former NBA player Steven Jackson defended DeSean Jackson's controversial Instagram post today. Jackson said the Eagles receiver was speaking the truth when he talked about Adolf Hitler's debunked quote. D-Jack apologized for his post on Tuesday, and the Eagles condemned his views. It's still unclear what's going to happen with Jackson with punishment, or if there be any at all. Steven Jackson, a very close friend of George Floyd, the Minneapolis man that died in police custody in May. New Orleans Pelicans coach Alvin Gentry has been cleared to travel with the team inside the NBA bubble at Walt Disney World. Gentry, now 65 years old, is has been part of the group that underwent additional examinations before being let in. The NFL and NFLPA are discussing player opt-outs for the 2020 season due to coronavirus. There will eventually be a specific date by which players would need to opt out by. It's still to be determined. Toledo Rockets D lineman Janiel Douglas was shot and killed late Tuesday night. Police say there was a fight between two men outside a pizza joint, and the 22-year-old was shot around 11:30 p.m. He was transported to hospital and later passed away. No arrests have been made. The Cincinnati Reds considering pitching Trevor Bauer, a starter, every fourth day. Bauer says he wants to be out on the mound as much as possible. And two career games on 3 days rest. Opponents have a 928 OPS. Two games from the basketball tournament today. Red Scare beat Big X 77-68. The final in the House of Pain beat Harmon's Crew 76-68. George Masvidal will be down to one of his corner men when he faces Kamaru Usman at UFC 251 Saturday. American top team coach Mike Brown has tested positive for coronavirus. He's unable to fly to Fight Island. In NASCAR, veteran driver Jimmy Johnson has been cleared to return after two negative tests for COVID-19. Great news there. And NASCAR will move its August road course date from Watkins Glen to Daytona. And the MLS tournament gets underway tonight. Orlando City taking on Inter Miami, 8 p.m. Eastern kickoff. Orlando plus 160 to win. Inter plus 140. The draw 240. Total 2.5 on FanDuel. I'm Cam Stewart. That's your Sports Grid News update. Now back to Moretti with our guest, Cam Blue.
Great job, the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. I'm Moretti. We're throwing it down with Lou, gamblue.com. You can follow Lou on Twitter at gamblue. We're talking about UFC 251. We'll get into the other fights, but I'm going to roll the dice on Masvidal, small play, just because of the number. I hate to admit it.
You just got done telling us you didn't do that.
Yeah, that's what he does, Ludo. I do the same thing. I'm like, ooh, I got to take the I'm getting 45.5 points with Colorado State against Alabama. Ooh, juicy. Yeah, yeah. Then they're down 45-0 in the second quarter.
You and I am doing, though? I am taking a fight to go the distance, though. That's plus money as well, plus 124. But I think the fight's going to go the distance. And listen, if Usman wins, Masvidal, guys, the guy has been stopped since like 2007 when he was young. Like, he's lost fights since then. He's never been knocked out. He's never been subbed. And like Lou said, if he loses, he's going to spend his time on his back. All right. He's going to eat some elbows. He's going to be rolling around. He'll spend time on his back. One thing that stands out to me about this is the fact that, listen, Usman does have a deep tank. All right. We've seen it. The guy's last four fights have gone the distance. A couple of them have gone 25 minutes. He's fought in, like, deep waters before. Masvidal, Cam, the guy's like a storybook ending. He beat Ben Askren in 2 seconds. Remember, he came out and he flew. He did the flying knee and he won. He's been doing storybook ending. The three pieces and a pop combo. Pop, pop, and he was joking about it. Like, everything's worked out for this guy. It's been easy for him. He hasn't been in a bloody war and worn out and stuff like that. And Usman can do this, but I don't want to lay the 300, but I do like that fight go the distance plus 124. So let's get into Volkanovski here, Lou, and I look forward to your take on this. I'm a big Max Holloway fan. I think the guy's great. He's been good to me over the years. But sometimes other fighters are just better. And I think Max, I'm not going to say he passed his prime because he's still young, but I think Max sort of had his time. So Volkanovski chopped him down, bro, with those leg kicks last time, Lou. Vicious leg kicks, okay? And let's just be real. It's a Russian Eastern European invasion right now in mixed martial arts. And no one's making money betting against these guys. And Volkanovski, chopped him down with the leg kicks, brutalized him, man. And it really weakened Max. And Max is a tough guy. He still landed some shots, but it really weakened him, Lou. So you know that Holloway and his camp are going to be prepared for the kicks, yet Volkanovski and his camp are also going to be prepared that Max is going to adjust, and Volkanovski also lands, 6.15 significant strikes a minute. It's not just his kicks. He can also throw as well. So as Max adjusts, Volkanovski's going to adjust as well. I hate being Connie Chalk on the program today, guys, but I think Volkanovski's the right side. What's your take, Lou?
I think Volkanovski is the right side, too. And again, it doesn't matter to me who the favorite or the underdog is. I'm looking for advantage. And I see tremendous advantage in Volkanovski. And I'm detecting something really unusual in Max. I've listened to his interviews all week. He seems a little bit like prior to the fight that he got pulled. Some fights back. I'm worried about his mental state, and I think Volkanovski is a man on a mission. Now, here's the deal for Max. He started slow. How does he change his plan? Can he change who he is? I'm not so sure. But if he does, and he tries to apply more pressure early in this fight, I think that plays right into Volkanovski's hands to try and ascertain some value out of this one. I would steer people to Volkanovski inside the distance because I believe that's how this fight ends.
You do? Huh? You think you don't think it makes it? It doesn't get there. It doesn't get 25 minutes.
I don't believe we will.
And, you know, it's big. It's a big number, actually, Cam. I do. Listen, two of Volkanovski's last three fights have gone the distance, including the fight against Max. Max's last three fights have gone the distance. Max can really take a beating. That's my deal with that. But I hear what you're saying. You know, he's had heart issues. He's been in some crazy fights. Thing with Max Holloway is, too, he started fighting really young, guys. Right? So even though he's not technically old, he's been in a lot of wars, man. Like, he's been through a lot in his life and wars and big fights. He's been beat up a couple of times. Like, he has been beat up a few times. You know, like, I have all the respect in the world for the kid, but I think it's a bad spot. Wrong fighter, wrong opponent, wrong time again. It's like one of those deals. Speaking of wrong time, wrong opponent, wrong decade, Jose Aldo and Peter Yan. Jose Aldo, one of my favorite fighters of all time. Love this guy, man. I used to bet on him all the time. He's never been the same after the Conor McGregor fight. And let's be real, he's never been the same like a lot of Brazilians since they started testing for steroids as much as they did. All right? I said it. So
the S word.
Whatever I said. No Brazilian fighter ever took steroids. You see Vitor Belfort, the guy's going to be starring as the Hulk, Lou, in a new movie soon. You seen this guy now?
Yes. Incredible. Yeah. It's incredible. Yeah. It's like they inflated him.
They did with a needle, Lou. They did.
I need some of what he's taken.
Me too. I'm not no one's judging, Lou, exactly. Look at me. I can use some. Hey, Vitor, help me out, bro. Give me a shot. But listen, Aldo is a great fighter, but he's only 33 years old, guys. Yet he's an old 33. Jose Aldo's been fighting since he's 17, and I looked it up. That's what his record says. You guys know he's been fighting in the back, you know, on the back streets of Brazil and underground fight. You know what I mean? Not underground like Fight Club stuff, but growing up, he didn't just suddenly get good when he was 17 fighting, obviously. So he's an old fighter, in my opinion, down in weight right now. It freaks me out when I see him weighing like this. He never looks healthy to me, Lou, or the same fighter. We're talking about a guy that's fought at 155 before. And to me, Peter Yan is a murderer. This guy's like a killer. You know, Aldo shouldn't even be in a cage with him. If he beats him, and I said this for a video I did for FanDuel, I know because of the odds, whatever, man. Yan's a -240 favorite, so you can't say that Aldo would be one of the biggest upsets ever in sports. That would be crazy talk. But, Lou, if Aldo actually became champion and beat Peter Yan, it really would be one of the greatest accomplishments. And in the same way it would have been with Dominic Cruz if he would have beaten Cejudo. It ain't happening, bro. I don't think Aldo has a chance. Do you agree or disagree?
I think he has a chance. Yeah, I believe that Yan is the right side. I got a story to tell on the total on the fight, but to answer your question, Gabriel, I think we're going to see a very, I think Aldo in his current state is a top bantamweight fighter, but not an elite bantamweight fighter. Yan is going to prove to us this week whether he's elite or not. I see a 235-pound fighters that move good, both pressure, in a 30-foot cage. So you know where I'm going with this. When I looked at this line for the total 2.5, it came out last week. The over was -101. I almost had a heart attack. I called a couple guys fast as I could. By the time I could move on the number, it was -145. And currently, you can tell me what you have, the over 2.5 on that fight. I really believe, I was stunned it was 2.5. I think this line is a 3.5, and I believe the fight goes over. I think it's a competitive, strategic fight, And I think Aldo's made lifestyle changes to fight at 135 after his corner finally convinced him that's what he needed to do to be successful. And I think we're going to get his last outstanding performance this weekend, and that manifests into the over.
Over 2.5 minus 192, I'm seeing right now. Over 2.5 minus 192.
They don't want you betting it. And so don't let the 192, I hate to say this because I'm in at 145, but they're trying to scare you with that big number. I bet it's 3.5 by the time the fight goes off.
Interesting. It's funny that we're all like, don't worry about the numbers. Now we jump into the numbers after.
You only worry about it when they lose, right? we're eating that juice got a lot.
I mean it for other fights, not this fight. Yeah. But generally, you mean that, but not honestly. Yeah. But in this instance, listen, I think you're giving Aldo a little bit more respect than I am. I don't mean to disrespect the guy because, like I said, I love the guy. I think he's great. But I think it's a bad spot for him, and I think Jan's going to overmatch him. I'm going to stay away from the total in this one.
Yeah, and I think just the opposite. I think you're giving Jan a little too much, but you know what? That's what makes a great fight, and I can't wait to watch to see what happens.
Yeah, that's what sports books exist for, right? For guys like you and me to think different things are going to happen. All right, so Namajunas, and I'm actually I'm always prepared, but I've been raising it up a notch. I don't know, I've been really into it, the UFC coming back, where I'm actually watching the previous fights. When we got a fight, or when there's been a rematch recently, I figure, well, whatever. Why not watch the fight, bro? It's only going to take me 15 minutes or 20 minutes, right? So I rewatch the fight. And, you know, and this first fight doesn't always mean the second fight, but I watched the fight, and I watched Dan Hardy do a breakdown. It was pretty cool, too, Hardy's breakdown. So I've been watching different breakdowns of the fight and stuff, and let's be real, man. Namajunas was picking her apart, bro, before she got dropped on her head, right? So I hate to simplify it, Lou, but as long as she doesn't get picked up and dropped on her head, I think she can win this fight. Andrade is a pretty one-dimensional fighter. Rose is pretty... Yeah, I hate being Captain Chalk here, man, but I think Rose wins. What's your take?
Well, we're starting at the top of the card and working down. We don't design the fights. The fact that the main card is primarily Chalk isn't our fault. We're just calling it like we see it, but I agree wholeheartedly with you. Andrade has one way to win, power and bully. She's got no footwork. She has no precision. And meanwhile, Rose trains with Pat Barry, her fiancé, who's an excellent kickboxer.
All right, hold on,
and
Bob,
Trevor
we'll
Whitman,
continue it on the other side. Game Time Decisions continues.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game Time Decisions continues. I am Renzi. We're throwing it down with the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, and Lou. We'll spend a couple of more minutes with Lou because we've got to get to Cam's golf picks, although Cam's going to join us on Sports Rage late night tonight as well. Lou, gamblew.com, kicking it with us. So we've pretty much been in agreement all the way through here with the chalk, although Lou does feel a little bit higher about Aldo than I do, or at least that fight going over the number. So what, and I brought this up earlier, Lou, it's one of these cards where it's top heavy with known fighters, and then, get your Russian translation dictionary out, because, man, you got some guys making their debuts here, Cam. Yeah, you got, like, Middle Eastern fighters and Russian dudes and Kazakhstan dudes, and it's a very international card, Lou. What's your take?
14 countries represented on 13 fights, so 26 fighters. You know, we got to find my job's to find underdogs. So where are we going to go for the underdogs? Just to finish on Namajunas and Andrade, I think Namajunas pieces are up from distance, and the only thing that is keeping me from betting that is her mental frame. I just want to watch, but I feel she's ready to fire. Now, when we go down the way a little bit into these fights, we'll go to a welterweight bout between Muslim Salikov and Elizio dos Santos Zaleski. Zaleski a Brazilian. Sakalov a Russian. You got that Russian-Brazilian hatred, which is really excellent. I am totally unimpressed with Sakalov's body of work. He beat Starpoli in his last fight. He beat Nordine Taleb, who's stiff as a 2x4, and Ricky Rain. He's not even in the organization anymore. Meanwhile, Zaleski dos Santos is a power jammer. He's not a grappler like most Brazilians. He's a capoeira expert, throwing knees and spinning kicks. And I think this is a very good matchup for Zaleski, who had a really dud of a showing against the leech, Jing Liang, two fights back, came back against Kunchenko, a Russian, most recently beat him. And I think Zaleski at plus 110, 115, and it's going up, is a great choice. But be patient and wait until after the weigh-ins, let that number go up. The second
Cam,
one.
Sorry, Lou, I was going to say, Cam, what are you looking at here? You like any of these underdogs, Cam?
Yeah, the thing is, and I respect you guys. You guys have watched more fights, but I'll tell you, Marenzi, you and Lou's influence on me. I've watched every single bout of like the last, you know, 8 to 10 cards. Sometimes, you know, before I'm really, really getting into it, finding out what's going on. And I agree with you guys with Rose, but to Lou's point where he didn't finish, I question her a little bit, her mental state. Andrade might not have the full capacity of weapons in the arsenal, but she's tough as hell and at any point can end it. I think that price at plus 160, Gabe, I think is a pretty good one. I want to respectfully disagree with you guys. I think she might be my underdog on the card. I'm not sure Rose can just bounce back and win this fight as a $2 favorite.
It's here's an Aristotle quote. It's the mark of an educated mind to be able to entertain a thought and not accept it. So I got nothing but respect for what you just said, Cam. You know what? I learned a long time ago, lose your own money. I sat in a room and it was the Bears and the Packers one night. I knew it was the Bears going to win. Everybody around the room said Packers, Packers, Packers. So I went and bet the Packers and the Bears won. Last time it ever happened.
Smart man. Call, yeah, it's a good call. If you're going to go down with your own decisions.
Lose
all
your
right,
own
so continue,
money.
Lou.
Yeah.
Continue here, Lou, on this. You know, for it's amazing. I looked. I'm like, man, Paige VanZant plus 600. It's like, man, that's
crazy.
I was like, can the other girl be that much better than her? Like, Paige isn't that bad. She's really tough. You know, like she's a tough girl to finish, but... Rebus is going to win, isn't she, Lou? So sorry, Lou. Continue on what you were talking about some of these other dogs. And there's this other guy too, fighting Volkan Ozdemir. What's the guy's name? Proskoshka comes in here. What about him, really? Lou? What did your studying tell you about him? Are you impressed with who's he beaten? Because this is his debut here. They must think pretty highly of him if they're giving him Ozdemir in his first fight.
Yeah, they sure must. He's won his last 10, but his competition level's low. He's a Czech fighter out of the Risen production, and he's a little bit younger, a little taller. I don't have height and reach. This will be a good fight to watch. I just don't have data on the other kids, so that's due diligence kind of work for me there. But Ozdemir is the real deal. And listen, he's been in with Dan Cormier and others. I think it'll be tough to beat Ozdemir that night. We go down the line. I mean, I'm going to go really down low to the bowels of the card. And we go into the probably the early prelims. We have a kid, Raulian Pavia. He's a Brazilian fighter, 24. He's a long string bean of a kid. He's about a $175, $180 favorite over a 31-year-old regional Kazakhstani named Zamagulov. Now, let's talk about Zamagulov, okay? Regional scene. Gabriel and maybe Cam, you guys remember Ali Bagatinov, the Russian grappler that was in the UFC? Not only has this Zamagulov beat Ali, he beat his brother Arthur as well. He also beat Tyson Nam. Tyson Nam 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago on a UFC card knocked out his opponent.
Yes.
Zamagulov is 31. and he's coming from the regional scene to fight a 24-year-old kid from Brazil traveling halfway around the world for the fight. And Zamagulov is at 31 knows he doesn't have five more chances, guys. This is it. And Zamagulov at plus 150, 160, depending where you shop, that's a mangy mutt right there, guys.
Lou, gamblu.com with us. We got this Maxim Grishin kid in here, not kid, but makes his debut against Ibura as well. There are quite a few of these fights. We talked about the Prochazka guy. It was one more as well as another guy coming in here with a nice sort of lofty record, but against inferior opponents. All right, Lou, so before we wrap it up here, any last fight you want to bring up that you've got here? And great stuff, great insight as always. We appreciate it, Lou.
I'm hanging my hat on Elizio dos Santos, Zamagulov, and the over in the Jan and Aldo fight. But I will say, regarding Van Zandt and Ribas, Paige Van Zandt's tougher than hell, and Ribas has been in with inferior competition. I do not consider Mackenzie Dern that big of a hurdle, and Ribas beat her. This fight goes over, man. Paige Van Zandt's auditioning. Yeah. She's auditioning for another organization. The UFC wants her submitted. I don't think it's going to happen. This thing's got decision written all over it. So if you want to try and back Van Zandt and still get maybe a plus price, you take the over if fight goes to decision.
Yeah, great point, Lou. One thing with Paige Van Zandt, she looks like a Barbie doll.
She's
but
tough.
This chick is, yeah, she's tough, man. Like, I remember I had an over once in a fight, and someone literally was about to break her arm. Like, yeah. And she's a hot chick. She's on Dancing with the Stars. She could easily
just
whoa, tap. Yeah, Rose. She could have easily tapped, man, and said, I'm out. Like, hey, let go of my arm. No, man. She would not quit, this girl. She's twisting. Her arm was, like, twisted eight ways sideways, Cap. Even me.
I'll tell you, Paige.
I was like, you're too pretty for this. You got to tap out, Paige. Don't ruin your life for this money. She's a fighter. She's a tough chick. Doesn't matter. She's hot. She's tough.
Yep.
And the other girl's a pretty girl too.
Yep. I remember, Gabe, the prettiest chick in high school too. Same type of thing with a fight. Oh, she's going to get killed. She murdered this chick in under 5 seconds. Most beautiful and killers too. You could be hot and tough. Dangerous parlay.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Listen, Paige Van Zandt, it's one of her traits. She is tough. Right? Yeah. Like that. She's not the best fighter, but she is. She can take a beating. She can take a shot. She won't tap out, like, if she finds herself in a bad submission. And as you stated, your Ribas in here, you know, even me, I looked. I'm like, ooh, you beat Mackenzie Dern, and she had another nice win. And then I'm like, yeah, but still. Paige Van Zandt's been in there against real fighters, too. She's been in there against real fighters, right? And at plus 600, it just seemed a little off. Lou, it's always a pleasure, sir. Thank you very much for taking the time to be with us.
I appreciate it, guys. Good luck, everybody, and we'll talk to you next week.
There's Lou.
Got it, Lou.
Hey, thanks for joining us. There's Lou Gamblu. Great stuff with Lou. Yeah, I tell you, Paige Van Zandt, she is tough. Thing is, she's not very good.
No. It's an excellent
point. She's really tough, right?
The other girl, what would you make the line? You know what I mean? So, like, what, 500?
I think it should be I think it should be like minus
380. Yeah, and it's what it's crazy. So it's four times what you think. Yeah, like, I don't know, man.
I don't know what's up with this line.
You can't even put it in parlays.
Hmm? Dude, at plus 600, I'm going to put a little money on Paige. Yeah, little bit.
I'll put 20, 30,
30. It's like betting a long shot on the horse track, right? It's like betting a long shot horse.
Exactly. I'm putting $30 on it. We can win 180. Why not, man? Sign me up too. That other girl should not be a 9-1 favorite. That's ludicrous. I'm with you.
And the fight will go the distance too, as Lou stated. But the odds are whack for that. Let's see what it is right now. Total rounds.
Under? Wow. What is it?
I can't believe this.
1.5?
I thought the total would be like 2.5, like minus 350 or something like that.
What is it?
It's 2.5 minus 124.
Wow.
Like basically, like there's nothing built in here that Paige, like basically this number is that Ribas is going to kill her. Like yes. Basically that Paige doesn't have
all
a chance.
Numbers.
And she'll last 7.5 minutes or so. She'll get beat up after 10 minutes or whatever, and she'll lose, right? Like I said, dude, Paige, like, you've got to, like, she lost by choke once, but wasn't her fault. She got put to sleep. She got choked out. What are you going to do? But I'm saying, like, she's not mentally weak, this girl. She's not going to wilt and, like, oh, I quit because I'm Paige VanZant. Like, this chick is tough. I'm amazed. I love the over 2.5. FanDuel just posted the numbers as far as the total rounds are concerned. It's difficult. I do a video for FanDuel. I got to do them before half the odds are out. And then it's annoying to me. Because then after, like later tonight, I'm like, oh, I would have given that. But and then people on Saturday, oh, nice picks, Brent. It's like, shut up, man. Yeah. I did that on Tuesday, all right? Like, you know, people have no idea.
Hey, buddy, I understand that because I do the golf with those guys in the morning now. And I had a guy, you know, at 35-1, he's down to 26 on FanDuel, too. Like, a lot of people, bing, 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 they hit that stuff up, Gabe. That's the problem. When you lock it in early, sometimes you don't get the best of the number. But
speaking of which, your golf, what do you got?
I got a lot right now. I know we're going to be hitting a break, but I'll give you the six-pack, and we'll talk later on tonight, Sports Rage Late Night Edition, Marenzi. I think there's going to be a lot of interesting things. This tournament, I'm going to be a little bit more careful, though. Even though it's at Muirfield, I think we have to wait and to see how things transpire before we get to the Memorial Tournament with Jack, where the course is going to be even tougher. But I like the chalk. I like where you're going with Rose and Koepka. I have three guys that I really, really like and a couple value plays as well. I told you, I'm going with Patrick Cantlay. He's 14-1 on FanDuel, and I'm also going to take all these top 10. Patrick Cantlay has won this tournament before. Nicholas is his idol. Top 10 is plus 185. Give me Patrick Cantlay to win this golf tournament. I'm going to get a lot of flack from Big Merce and a lot of our guys tonight on the show, Gabe, but I'm buying into Hideki Matsuyama at 17-1. He played great last week. He had one bad hole with like a triple bogey. Watch out. He is finding form. Top 10, plus 195 as well. There's another list of guys that I got for you, buddy. I'll finish off the six-pack after the break, but I'm telling you, watch out for Hideki this week. He loves this course and is starting to play better.
Game time decisions. We'll get Cam six back and more and some props on the other side. Game time decisions continues. We're going to the 2-minute warning.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Cam, we've got a couple of minutes left here. Let's get into Cam's six-pack. We also have an MLS soccer game going off the board this evening in about an hour. It's nice to say that. But, man, nasty rivalry, Orlando and Inter-Miami. But let's get Cam's golf picks first.
Yeah, so for everybody that missed it earlier, Patrick Cantlay, 14-1 for top 10. He's plus 185 on FanDuel. We got Hideki Matsuyama. He's 17-1, top 5, plus 195. Gabe, I'm going back to Colin Morikawa at 31-1, top 10, plus 330. I think the rest was good for the kid. He's got time to clear his mind, and this course his game suits it perfectly. Matt Fitzpatrick, Bones McKay, Phil Mickelson's old caddy, now caddying for Matthew Fitzpatrick. I think it inspires the young Englishman. 55-1, top 10, 6-1. Matt Wallace is a big, big bomb. He's 150-1, top 10, 9-1. And Max Homa, he is 120-1, top 10, 14-1. Soccer game tonight, Orlando and Inter. I like the over 2.5. I think a little bit sloppy to come out of the gate. We get some goals, Gabe. What do you got?
Oh, I was just going to say I'm going to pull the trigger on the under. Mixing it up. Everyone thinks, oh, MLS is back. Oh, it's a higher scoring league. I'll tell you what, I know you wouldn't like this, but right now it's 86 degrees, and you and I know we've been to Orlando. 86 degrees currently. That's 7 o'clock Eastern in Orlando. 69% humidity.
It's a lot.
To me, first game, these guys have been off forever. I don't think it's a track meet, Cam. I think it's a slower sort of, let's just get through this and not get anybody hurt. Give me the under, and you know what? Give me a draw. Give me a draw, plus 240. Draw, plus 240. That's my pick. First game back, draw.
I like it.
Yeah, I know. Nothing wrong. What? Hey, there's nothing wrong with a draw. More picks tonight on your show, Moretti. Yeah, it could be a draw. Plus, it's plus money. Good plus money to the draw, too. We got some top 10s and top 20s for you tonight on Sports Rage Late Night.
Yeah, and my golf picks, Brooks Koepka. And Brooks Koepka and Justin Rose
will have Bagels and Sports Rage Late Night today. Never being a camp fan, but I will tell you, the officials never gave him the benefit of the doubt. He would get crushed, and there wouldn't be any penalty flags for late hits. So, you know, welcome to the real world Patriots from that standpoint.
The Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.